I greet you in the name of Jesus. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father, from Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I want to bid each and every one of you a hearty welcome here this morning. And if you're guests in our midst, also a hearty welcome, and may you feel the love of God amongst us. We just want to thank the Lord for this beautiful morning that he has given us. And we just want to appreciate this while we can. But before we go on in our service, let us unite our hearts for opening prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the many blessings you bestow upon us. We thank you for the blessing of the gospel you have given us, a gospel that could not have been invented by man, a gospel that explains to us that you are the creator of everything, and it is not man that controls it, even though the world would have us believe that it is in control. We can worship a living Savior, Jesus Christ, not some dead God or prophet that many faiths do. Thank you for sending us a comforter, the Holy Spirit, that comforts, leads, and guides us in this world and directs us to eternal life in heaven that has been prepared for us by your Son and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We invite you to be in our midst in spirit this morning to lead and guide our service. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Take your red book and turn to number 395 in the glory of life's morning. In the glory of life's morning, everything is bright and fair. Lord, in you our lives take over, and for service us prepare. For the cause of Christ our Savior, let us labor all the day, that not ere the task is ended, life's bright sun may pass away. If we love the name of Jesus, let us prove it by our deeds. In the name of Christ our Savior, helping him who our help needs. For the cause of Christ our Savior, let us labor all the day. Let not ere the task is ended, life's bright sun may pass away. May we, though in mortal frailty, always do our very best, ever do what Christ enjoineth with much eagerness and zest. For the cause of Christ our Savior, let us labor all the day, that not ere the task is ended, life's bright sun may pass away.
132. Come with thy sins to the fountain. 132.
Come with thy sins to the fountain, come with thy burden of grief. Bury them deep in its waters, there thou wilt find a relief. Haste thee away, why wilt thou stay? Risk not thy soul on a moment's delay. Jesus is waiting to save thee. Mercy is pleading today. Come as thou art to the fountain. Jesus is waiting for thee. But though thy sins are like crimson, white as a snow they shall be. Haste thee away, why wilt thou stay? Risk not thy soul on a moment's delay. Jesus is waiting to save thee. Mercy is pleading today. These are the words of the Savior. They who repent and believe, they who are willing to trust him, life at his hand shall receive. Haste thee away, why wilt thou stay? Risk not thy soul on a moment's delay. Jesus is waiting to save thee. Mercy is pleading today. Come and be healed at the fountain. List to its speaking voice. Over a sinner returning, now let the angels rejoice. Haste away, why wilt thou stay? Risk not thy soul on a moment's delay. Jesus is waiting to save thee. Mercy is pleading today.
My grace is sufficient for thee. The words of Jesus that we find in 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9. Simple words, easy to remember. These are the words that all of us Christians should memorize and put them in our hearts. Then when sickness or sorrow come, when trouble and death face us, we then can hear these precious words echo in our hearts. And then we know that God is speaking to us. But what does it mean by the grace of God? We talk about it. We sing about it, but what does it mean? We don't have to ask God to make his grace sufficient. It is. It means that God's overpowering love and favor cannot be matched with anything that this world has to offer. It means that all the resources of a great God, when we say that his grace is sufficient, we are saying that all the resources of God are on our side, that we are supplied for everything we need. We need not worry. But there are millions and millions of people in this world. And you can put the needs together of all these millions of people, and yet there will be enough grace from God. The grace will be sufficient to supply every need if they will only come to him and trust him. So the world is full of people, and the people are full of needs. Just to think that this great God's grace has enough to supply every need with plenty left over. His grace is sufficient. Now Jesus is the one that said, "My grace is sufficient for thee." What was the occasion that Jesus said these words? Or what made him say that? Well, Paul, he had a thorn in the flesh. No one knows what it really was, but we do know that it was something that bothered him. Some say it was an uncontrolled temper which hindered his work. Some say the thorn were people that hindered his work. Some say it was a form of eye trouble. But no one knows for sure what Paul's thorn in the flesh was. The Bible does not tell us. And the reason that the Bible doesn't tell us is that we probably all have thorns that we need to cope with. And they are not all the same. Yes, God's grace is sufficient for all, not just one. Now, what did Apostle Paul do about this thorn in his flesh that he's complaining about? 3 times he went to God and asked God to remove this thorn. But God was silent. Has that happened to you? You've gone to God and asked over and over again, and he still hasn't answered? Don't give up. Keep on praying. Keep on asking. He will give you the answer that is best for you. But God finally answered Paul. But God said, "I will not take this thorn away from you." But he says, "I will give you grace to bear it." And probably Paul went over this in his mind and he said, "I'd rather have the thorn and the added grace than to be rid of the thorn and not to have God's grace." So the great Apostle Paul stopped complaining. He stopped complaining to God, and he rather glorified him. Yes, God's grace is also sufficient in the hour of salvation. Paul had not always been Paul. Once he had been Saul of Tarsus. He was well learned in the law, the Jewish law. And he felt that anyone that was against his beliefs was worthy of death. But in that land where Paul was, also lived a humble group of people called Christians. They believed that a man from a peasant family had come and was the Son of God. How Paul hated these Christians and their Christ. And we go to Acts 26, we find part of Paul's testimony. Acts 26, verses 9 to 11. It says, "I verily thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth, which thing I also did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints did I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priests. And when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them. And I punished them often in every synagogue and compelled them to blasphemy. And being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them even unto strange cities. So this is what the Apostle Paul, or Saul of Tarsus, did. He consented even to the death of these Christians. But God had his sights on Paul. Going on with verse 12. Whereupon, as I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priests, at midday, O king, I saw in the way of light from heaven, above the brightness of the sun, shining round about me and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Yes, Christ done. And Paul saw the awful sin that he had done against God. But Christ said, all your sins will be washed away if only you will put your trust in me. But probably Paul's thoughts were, how can that be? My sin is so great. It has been piling up from birth. And Christ said to him, my grace is sufficient for thee. It is greater than all your sins. Romans chapter 5. The last part of the verse. Romans chapter 5, verse 20. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That was the day that Saul became Paul. Paul passed from death into life. The grace of God reached down and saved him. This same grace can save the greatest sinner who will come unto Christ by faith. And after his conversion, Paul was always careful to tell that the only way to be saved was by the grace of God. There are some people who might say that you can't be saved or can't go to heaven unless you belong to a certain group or practice certain religious rituals. But do you see what that does? It makes a church out of all these things, or a savior out of all these things. There's only one Savior, Jesus Christ, the Lord. He can save anyone without the help of anything else. In Ephesians chapter 2, words of Paul, verse 8 and 9, says, For by grace are ye saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Now, isn't that the truth? The Lord knew if mankind could be saved by their own works, they would be going around in heaven bragging about what they had done to be saved. But in heaven, we will not be boasting about what we have done, but we will be saying, thanking Christ what he has done for us. We will be praising and thanking him for giving us salvation. And let us not forget the great cost. First of all, Jesus left heaven, glory land, paradise. He came down to earth to live among sinful man. And finally, die a torturous death on the cross. It cost his blood. It cost his life. But Paul said, we are saved by grace through faith. The grace, that is God's part. His reaching down to us, sending his son Jesus. The faith, that is our part. Our reaching up to God, believing in his son Jesus. And when this happens, God puts his arms around us and we become the children of God. God has but one plan of salvation. By grace are ye saved through faith. And that day, when you renounce your sins and look unto him by faith, he will save you with a glorious salvation. Before we go on with our message this morning, I want to give you all the opportunity, whoever is able, to go on bended knee and pray for whatever lies on your heart. And so let us all kneel in prayer and pray in the name of Jesus. May the Lord hear our prayers and be merciful unto us.
Take your blue book and turn to page 483. He the pearly gates will open. Can we stand?
Love divine, so great and wondrous, deep and mighty, pure, sublime, coming from the heart of Jesus, just the same through test of time. He the pearly gates will open, so that I may enter in, for he purchased my redemption and forgiveness. forgave me all my sin. Like a dove when hunted, frightened, as a wounded fawn was I. Broken hearted, yet he healed me. He will heed the sinner's cry. He, the pearly gates will open, so that I may enter in. For he purchased my redemption and forgave me all my sin. Love divine, so great and wondrous, all my sins he then forgave. I will sing his praise forever, for his blood, his power to save. He, the pearly gates will open, so that I may enter in. For he purchased my redemption and forgave me all my sins. In life's eventide at twilight, at his door I'll knock and wait. By the precious love of Jesus I shall enter heaven's gate. He, the pearly gates will open, so that I may enter in. For he purchased my redemption and forgave me all my sins.
When we are beset with sin, we do not need to make an appointment and wait for the time. We can come to him right away. Thank God for that. Now, God's grace is enough in the hour of sin. This is speaking to Christians now. We sin often and come short of the glory of God. Now, the Christian who says he never sins does not know the nature of sin and the teachings of the Word of God. Man is born with a carnal, sinful nature. But when man is born again of the Spirit of God, he receives a new nature. But even though we receive a new nature, the old nature seems to linger on. And from that time on, there is a constant battle in our soul. The carnal against the spiritual. And often the carnal wins. And we as Christians, we fall into sin. But as Christians, we don't have peace in that sin. We are not happy in it. Now, when Peter denied Jesus, we could see that the carnal had the upper hand on him. Satan had him where he wanted him. But Peter was Christ. He did not belong to Satan. He belonged to Jesus. And so Peter did not have peace after he denied Jesus. Likewise, we also, we belong to Jesus as Christians. And we then cannot have peace as long as there's sin in our life. As long as sin stands between you and God, there can't be peace. So what can we do about it when we fall into sin? We need to seek the place of forgiveness and peace. The only place we will find that is at the cross. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Yes, Jesus is willing to forgive. We have a good example of this truth in King David. David was a man after God's own heart. But one day, David fell. He sinned. David probably committed the greatest sin there was, or one of many we recorded in the Bible. In his sin, there was lust, covetousness, there was adultery, there was murder. He was guilty of them all. This is what he says in Psalm 32, verses 3 and 4. This is how he felt. When I kept silence, in other words, he didn't repent, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned unto the drought of summer, Selah. He did not have peace. He refused to confess his sin. He tried to sweep it under the rug. But what was he doing? He was fighting against God and his own best interest. King David became miserable. Nothing worked right out anymore for him. He was not happy when his sin hid the face of God from him. What did King David do about it? He confessed that sin unto God. Here's what he said in Psalm 51. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. According unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. What was the result of that confession? God forgave him. And when we go to God with these words, God is also willing to forgive us. Yes, when David, he cried out to God, and forgiveness came down from God. His peace and his joy came back to him. He knew that God's grace was sufficient. Friends, do you have sin in your life? Maybe a cold heart toward God? Maybe you have been neglecting your Christian service duties? It may be a prayerless life. Maybe you have a wrong attitude toward a brother or a sister. As long as those things are in your life, you will not have peace. You will not have joy. As long as this sin is there, you won't have that peace. But like David, confess it to God, and He is more than willing to forgive. And this peace and joy will once again be in your heart. You will then know that His grace is sufficient for you. And as we go on in life, we will meet up with many trials and sufferings. Even though we are Christians, these things come our way. Our thoughts might even be, why do they happen to me? I'm a Christian. Shouldn't these things only happen to non-Christians? Well, what does God say? And let the rain fall upon the just and the unjust. But the difference is, as Christians, we have a promise from God. God has promised us to see us through. His grace will be sufficient in every hour of our need. In Acts 16, we have the story of Paul again. In a vision, God sent Paul to Philippi. And as he was in Philippi, because of his preaching, a woman named Lydia and her household, they were saved. And they met a girl that was demon-possessed. And Paul drove these demons out of this girl in the name of Jesus. Now, her masters were very angry because they used her as a fortune teller, and that's how they made their money. And now their way of income was gone. And they were angry at Paul. They brought Paul before the magistrates with false accusations. And Paul was beaten. He was whipped on the back. He was thrown into prison and put in the stocks. Now, Paul could have questioned God. I did all these good things. I brought this people to you. Now, this has happened to me? That's not fair. But Paul didn't question God. What did he do? He sang praises to God. He prayed. And what did all of this do? He was witnessing to the prisoners, to the jail keepers. And God allowed a great earthquake to come. All the prison doors were opened, the stocks were opened. And the prison keeper saw that in his mind that all the prisoners would be escaping, and he was accountable for them. He was going to take his life. But Paul convinced the prison keeper not to take his life. He says, they're all here. And the end result was that the prison keeper and his whole household, they were saved. Yet God's grace was sufficient for Paul. Paul could have said it was not fair, but Paul only knew half of the story, what God had in store for him. But because Paul had this grained in his mind, God's grace is sufficient for me, that brought him through to this point. Yes, God knew what he was doing. Yes, God's grace is also sufficient in the hour of sorrow. When the dearest one to you passes on, when your heart aches till it nearly breaks, yet that is the time when he cares more than ever. He warms your heart. He comforts and blesses you. In John 14:1, let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In Hebrews 13:5, he says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And through the days that follow, you will find that his grace is sufficient. Even now, you are sitting beside the one you greatly love. Life is beautiful, but one day there is a parting. So let us store up the grace of God in our heart. When that time comes, we will know that his grace is sufficient. So that in that day, you will have the comfort that only God can give. When Apostle Paul's hour of death came, he was in the city, in jail, city of Rome. He was going to be executed. He knew that. His life was over. But listen to his words, 2 Timothy. Second Timothy chapter 4, verse 6 to 8. He says, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Yet God's grace was sufficient for that hour. Apostle Paul had no regrets. Verse 7, he says, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. Now, he is not bragging. He had done what God had asked him to do. We just need to read the many books of the Bible that Paul wrote. Paul, unselfish, concerned for the lost, and keeping the saved on course. But Paul had not always been that way. Paul was putting Christians in jail, consenting to their death, going completely against the teaching of Jesus Christ. And this is what saving grace can do. He was changed completely. Yes, Paul, he had kept the faith. He says, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Yes, he believed and obeyed the Christian faith. He had kept that. He had not only kept this faith, he had also passed it on to others, even though he was not always popular for that. As a matter of fact, he was the one that was persecuted for proclaiming the gospel. Now Paul was in sight of the goal. Verse 8, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all of them also that love his appearing. Paul is so certain of his future. There's a laid up a crown of righteousness, he said. And he said, not only to him, but he said also to all the others that are also believing in Jesus Christ. As Paul's judges, were not righteous, the ones in Rome. If they had been righteous, they would have released him from prison. But now, Paul is ready to meet the last judge, his Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Paul calls him the righteous judge. Yes, and we need to realize that God's grace is also sufficient in the hour of departure. The thing that will uphold us in the valley of the shadow is the grace and goodness and mercy of God. Many hymns have been written by experiences that people have had. Amazing Grace is another one of those songs. It was written a couple of hundred years ago by a man named John Newton. John Newton took part in the slave trade, bringing slaves to Europe. But one day there was a great storm on sea, and he was afraid for his life. And he prayed to a God that he hardly knew. And he made a promise to this God. He says, if you save me, I will dedicate my life to you. And that's what happened. God saved him. And he became a minister of the gospel. And he also was the one that worked for against the slave trade. He helped abolish it. So we can see the grace of God is at work, not only in the times past, when we read in history or in the Bible. God's grace is also for today, for each one of us. It is sufficient for each one of us. Yes, we all go through trials and troubles, and we might wonder about all of them, but God's grace will carry us through. And when our life's journey on this earth is over, we will remember that it was His grace that brought us to heaven. Amen. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the comfort of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us unite for closing prayer. Lord, we first of all thank you for your presence here this morning, protecting, leading, and guiding us. We thank you for your grace by sending your Son while we were yet sinners. If there is anyone that thinks that there is not enough grace to forgive their sins, just look at the Apostle Paul. He started out by persecuting Christians. He accepted the grace of God. His sins were forgiven and became a great man of God. If you think that you have to face your trials and hardships of this life alone, go to Jesus. His grace is sufficient, not only to help you survive, but to thrive. May your grace shine through us, that we may be a beacon to a lost world, that they can see that the grace of God will bring them peace and joy. We pray this in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. We always have an opportunity to pray, not only here, but also at home. We can call upon the Lord in the morning and evening. And so let us, once again, whoever is able, kneel in prayer in the name of Jesus. May the Lord hear our prayers and be merciful unto us.
Take your blue hymnal and turn to number 268. Revive us again. 268.
We praise thee, O God, for the Son of thy love, for Jesus who died and is now gone above. Hallelujah, thine the glory, hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory, revive us again. We praise thee, O God, for the Spirit of light, who has shown us our Savior and scattered our night. Hallelujah, thine the glory, hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory, revive us again. All glory and praise to the Lamb that was slain, who has borne all our sins and has cleansed every stain. Hallelujah, thine the glory, hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory, revive us again. Revive us again, fill each heart with thy love. May each soul be rekindled with fire from above. Hallelujah, thine the glory, hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory, revive us again.
Good morning. Thank you, Brother Jake, for bringing us the message this morning, and thank you again, the song leaders and pianists, for leading us in singing this morning. Just a few announcements. The Sunday school teacher needed. They're still looking for more help in Sunday school. So if there's anybody that is interested in teaching, this is for class 18. If you are interested, please contact Henry Cron and Peter Martins. And also a note to all parents, for the next few weeks, the Sunday School is collecting non-perishable food items for the Christmas cheer board. Please consider helping your children fill the box. And then also last Sunday, we had the Youth Mission Trip fundraiser, which was a really good turnout. And many thanks to the youth leaders for serving us a delicious lunch on Sunday. God bless each of you for your hard work and dedication. So just to mention that the pigs that have been slaughtered for that meal, the youth were involved with processing that. So it was not just bought, the youth were involved, which had been a really good turnout as well. And the total funds that were raised from that one Sunday is $8,773. So praise God that you guys supported the youth for this mission trip that they're going to be doing, and helping the orphanage in Mexico at Ancla de Amor. So thank you for your support. And also, we're planning on a baby dedication service to be included in the New Year's Day program. If you had a baby in 2025, please register them with Art Weeb, and his phone number is in the bulletin here. Weekday mornings as soon as possible. Thank you so much, the program committee. Thank you for coming, and have a blessed Sunday.
Thank you for those announcements, Brother Henry. I also want to thank you for coming this morning, partaking in our worship service and Solomon prayer, and the Lord will truly bless you for that. Let us unite for the benediction. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. May you go in the peace of the Lord.